A reading from the book of the prophet Daniel. King Nebuchadnezzar said, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you will not serve my God or worship the golden statue that I set up? Be ready now to fall down and worship the statue I had made whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, flute, lyre, harp, psaltery, bagpipe, and all the other musical instruments. Otherwise, you shall be instantly cast into the white-hot furnace, and who is the God who can deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered King Nebuchadnezzar, "There is no need for us to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If our God, whom we serve, can save us from the white-hot furnace and from your hands, O King, may he save us. But even if he will not, know, O King, that we will not serve your God or worship the golden statue that you set up." King Nebuchadnezzar's face became livid with utter rage against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times more than usual and had some of the strongest men in his army bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the white-hot furnace. Nebuchadnezzar rose in haste and asked his nobles, "Did we not cast 3 men bound into the fire?" "Assuredly, O King," they answered. "But I see 4 men unfettered and unhurt, walking in the fire, and the 4th looks like a son of God." Nebuchadnezzar exclaimed, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel to deliver the servants who trusted in him. They disobeyed the royal command and yielded their bodies rather than serve or worship any god except their own." The word of the Lord. Mahatma Gandhi once said, "A no uttered from the deepest conviction is better and greater than a yes merely uttered to please, or worse, to avoid trouble." In today's reading, we hear of the conviction of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, 3 Jewish men we know from the Psalter as Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. At the time, the Israelite community was in exile in Babylon, and Nebuchadnezzar, the tyrannical king, created havoc and devastation for the Jews as well as for his own people. Among his demands was the worship of the golden statue he had designed. If anyone failed to fall to their knees when they heard music being played, they risked annihilation by being thrown into the white-hot furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego more than likely had been leaders within the Jewish community, and their skills must have been noted, for Nebuchadnezzar had appointed them as administrators over the province of Babylon. They were in positions of power, and could have very well continued up the ladder of seeming success if only they were willing to follow the king's command. But their faithfulness to God, their conviction, would not allow them to succumb to the madness of the king. They would not bow down and worship a false god. "If our God, whom we serve, can save us from the white-hot furnace and from your hands, may he save us," they said. "But even if you will not, know, O King, that we will not serve your God or worship the golden statue that you set up." Despite the suffering they would no doubt endure because of these words, their trust in the God of the covenant was so strong that they placed their lives in God's hands, no matter the consequences of their witness. Our own faith is based on Jesus the Christ, who, like the prophets and people of conviction ahead of him, also refused to succumb to the madness of conventional wisdom. The Gospels are filled with the stories of Jesus being challenged by those in political or religious power because of his commitment to the poor, the outcast, women and children, the sick and suffering. This commitment never wavered, and ultimately it led to the cross, where his trust in his Abba God had him crying out the prayer of Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Yet you are holy. In you our ancestors trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. And finally, among his final words were, "Into your hands, O God, I commend my spirit." Despite the suffering he endured, his trust in the God of the covenant remained steadfast. There are countless others in the company of the saints, that great cloud of witnesses, who have stood fast in the face of sure and certain suffering and probable death. They have stood in the conviction and belief that our God is a God of life and love, of justice and peace, of mercy and promise. Some of their names and stories are familiar to us. Archbishop Oscar Romero, Maryknoll missioners Edith Ford, Dorothy Kazel, and Maura Clark, and lay missioner Jean Donovan. Franciscan friar Maximilian Kolbe, the Jesuit fathers and their housekeeper and her daughter, Sister of Notre Dame de Namur, Dorothy Stang. Still there are others who remain anonymous, but whose witness is no less profound. Recall the tank man of Tiananmen Square, or the Christian communities in Iraq or Gaza today, or the people of Libya, about whom one writer commented, "One cannot help but admire the courage of people who are prepared to face down a tyrant soldiers with little more than the moral courage required to die. Many have done just that, and they will rightly be remembered as martyrs, witnesses to a better way." These sisters and brothers in our faith have stood fast with the poor and oppressed in the face of great suffering and risked their lives, many of them paying the price for their convictions. But really, how many of us will find ourselves facing such situations? A few of us might. Most, though, will not face such dire circumstances. Still, does that leave us exempt from the strength and stand of conviction rooted in our belief in the God of justice, the God of life, the God of promise? Through our baptism, we have become a part of the reign of God. As we heard on Ash Wednesday in St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, we are ambassadors for Christ. As such, we are called to stand against the madness of sin and suffering, darkness and death, as Jesus did, and cry from the deepest of convictions, "No, such is not the way of our God." Do our convictions allow us to stand against the bully in a classroom or workplace and beside the one who is being harassed? Do our convictions find us choosing the path of moderation in our use of resources? Do our convictions have us standing against injustice and beside the refugee, the immigrant, the unemployed? Do our convictions find us offering compassion, healing, and hope, homeless and hungry in our midst? Do our convictions have us standing against intolerance and prejudice and beside others who, though different from us in color, class, or creed, are also made in the image and likeness of God? Do our convictions have us standing against vengeful acts and on the side of restorative justice and reconciliation? Do our convictions find us exercising peace, forgiveness, and patience in our relationships with family, friends, the church, and community? To stand on the strength of our conviction in the God of the covenant is a radical act of courage, but we do not stand alone. Our actions may lead to the white-hot furnace of condemnation by the powers that be, but we stand in the truth of the Word of God, whose fire burning in us has the power to transform and purify the world. May we live so that the no of our deepest convictions countering the injustice of the world may give rise to the yes of our God, who is life and love, who is justice and peace, who is mercy and promise.